Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Hi, this is Willard Welch, drum class of 1958. And this is October the 3rd, 2012. I'm having an interview with a classmate, Archie.
Archie Darrington, class of 59, and graduated from drama.
Okay. And what high school did you go to school in?
East High School.
East High School.
On Van Brunt.
Right. And did you have a nickname at the farm, Archie?
No, I don't think. Archie's a good enough nickname.
That's good enough. Okay. And where did you come from to the farm?
Around Bristol School, be around 40th and Main, Kansas City, Missouri.
From Kansas City, okay. All right. Did you come by yourself?
No, a truant officer named Mr. Wells finally caught up to me, and he talked to my mother, and they decided that I was still a good kid and I needed a decent place, and he brought me out to Drum Farm.
Okay. Did your brother come with you then?
No. My brother came much later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did he stay?
No. He left right after I graduated. And I always thought maybe he left because I wasn't still out there.
Right.
Like I was having too much fun or something. But anyway, you know, yeah, he left drum, which is sad because when he left, he didn't finish school neither.
Oh,
so
okay.
You know, there's a reason to stay.
Yeah, definitely. And how long were you at the farm? What years were you out there?
Best of my knowledge, the summer of 53 to, you know, must have been about June of 59.
Okay, yeah, all right. So 52, about 6 years.
Yeah, roughly.
Okay, all right.
To a kid, it seems like an eternity, but.
Oh, yeah. That's true, yeah. Now, when you went to East, did you participate in any of the school activities?
None.
Okay.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Now, in school, do you remember any of the fads that the kids were using or doing?
At East High?
Yeah, at East.
Ducktails, horseshoe taps on their shoes, clacking down the hall.
I remember that now.
Yeah. Certain group of guys always trying to be cool, like, if I may say, Fonzie, on Happy Days.
Right.
And we was only there 3 hours, so it's not like you really get too involved in school.
Right.
And I was taking three solids there, where everybody else goes to school has to have, I believe, at least three, or what they call it, 5-2 or something. You got to have some non-solids
in a
mixture. But since I was out at Drum Farm, I did 3 hours at East and then 1 hour agriculture out here. Gave you four, okay, it'd be 16 units or 32 credits, I believe, to graduate.
Right, right.
And you couldn't make any bad grades or you would not get out of school.
That's true. Definitely wanted to do that. Mm. And part of the farm was 4-H and FFA.
Yeah.
What memories do you have of that?
Real good. I enjoyed, let's start with this 4-H. I remember my first thing was raising corn in the garden.
Right.
I think I made 90 cents. I don't remember. It's some small amount. And then later on I went to raising, I believe, a pig, and then 1 year I had sheep, and then my junior year I got a steer.
Right.
And I did all those projects. In fact, I asked Mr. Berkmeyer, which never been done before, if I could slaughter my own steer.
Oh.
And so I had to draw X on his forehead and shoot him and dress him out. And I sold half of it, if you remember, Mr. Peak in the 4-H Club. He was a leader.
Right.
And I sold half of the beef to him and half of it to my granddad.
Oh.
And I had it packaged at Snow Locker in Independence.
Right.
I think I made about $100 on that deal. But that was my journey in 4-H, except for doing the different projects like knot tying, wiring, different little project boards you did.
Right.
And things like that, and interim and fair. FFA, I did, well, and poultry judging at 4-H, I forgot. I did go to Chicago and place second high individual in the nation.
Good.
For identification, I believe. No, yeah, identification, I believe it was. In fact, I remember, this is so funny, the girl on her team and Jerry Kaufman and myself was all in Chicago with Mr., was it Birch? The egg, no, that, yeah, I believe he took us up there.
Okay.
He was an ag teacher, though.
Right.
But anyway, we were sitting there, and they announced everybody who's won, and our team did not do good. And they said my name, and I didn't hear. Not that I didn't expect it, you know what I'm saying? And Jerry kicked me. He said, they're calling you, go up there. Had no idea. Yeah. But it was quite an honor. It was a gold medal. And out of a nation of kids, I mean, it was a slug of children up there. So it was quite an honor. In fact, that was my first E I ever made in agriculture. I guess it impressed them. But anyway, then FFA, I did the various projects and that. And I did meat judging. And I went to state meat judging, placed high individual there. And the team did very good, and we was going to go on to the nationals, which was here in Kansas City. And Jerry Kaufman, again, was, I believe, my teammate. I can't, or Gene Myers, maybe. I can't remember the guys.
Right. Oh, that's right. Okay.
And so anyway, I went, did that, placed first there in meat identification in, I believe it was Columbia, Missouri. And then we had a chance to go to national. Mr. Berkmeyer asked us not to. He said we would do better the following year. So we looked at each other and go, we'll go next year. So we give the right for the team that placed under us to go.
Right.
So anyway, we went again, and we did wind up again going to the national contest. Didn't do that good, but I got a bronze medal or something out of the deal. But I love the projects. And the other thing about drum is I can't say you have to have. It was a driven force with me because I wanted the drum sweater. It meant a lot to me.
Sure.
But you got to do so many things to get it. Good citizenship, good scholarship, and scholarship was always hard for me. I mean, not, you know, some people, schooling goes easy, but mine I always had to work hard. And then there was... I think three sports out of the four you had to be in.
Right.
And what else? Oh, and FFA and 4-H. And I believe you had to do something better than just local being. You know, you had to go to, like, maybe a district or something to get a – I'm not sure. It's been a long time. But it seems like there's, like – it's just not a matter of joining them.
Right.
There's some attachment. But anyway, lo and behold, I got that drum sweater. And you know what? A whole bunch of kids got it that year. That was a slug of us. So it was really neat. And so I got that. And that's basically my 4-H and FFA. And it's all because of drum.
Right. Right.
And I don't know if you want me to say this, but actually, by being in meat judge and everything, first thing I wanted to do is own a farm when I got out of drum. But you just don't run out and buy a farm when you're 18. So then I looked around and I went into meat business. And that was my basic foundation most of my life. And all that stems from drone, from slaughtering my own beef and all that. I mean, we used to do our chickens. Eggs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you still have your sweater?
No. I hate to say this on the recording. My ex-wife's got it, I guess.
Oh,
all right. I don't have it.
You're not alone. Hardly any of the guys got theirs either. Now, on another thing now, they gave allowances. Do you remember how much your allowance was? Or how it progressed over the years?
Yeah, and not 100%, but it seemed like by the time I'm going up to a senior, it seemed like it was $3 back then. And I think started out like, man, not very much. Maybe 50 cents when you're like seventh grader or something. The show was only 25 cents.
True.
So, you know, and even then, I know today $3 sounds like diddly, but, you know, back then you could buy quite a bit with.
Right.
With, honestly, you could. I mean.
Well, and it was basically your spending money.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody told you what to do with your money.
Right.
In fact, I didn't always eat my dessert. I charged guys if they wanted them in the dining room.
Making money. There you go. Well, part of the farm life was chores.
Yes.
What was your favorite chore?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. They were varied.
Oh, sure.
And, I mean, it widens your horizon on so many different aspects of work and doing things. I mean, from corn silage to milking your cow or taking care of the pigs down there, scraping the chicken roost and getting eggs. You know, there's just everything about that. And it's like farm boys and girls, even that's on the farm today. They come out more rounded with things because they see life and death and hardships and, you know, things. Farm ain't easy.
Oh, no.
So that drum made it easy because they were our caregivers.
Right.
They never faulted in anything in my entire time there. If I needed a pair of shoes, I got a pair of shoes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And thing is it was probably way better than what I had prior to drum. I remember being on the street with cardboard in the bottom of my shoe, you know? And that's how most of us boys, I really think, came out of the city.
Yeah.
It was life of hard knocks and it gave you street smarts, but at the same time, that farm kind of, drum kind of drains that out of you. You know, we're still a little street smart. I think all the drum boys are. But at the same time, it really mellowed out. And it shaped our life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, while you were at the farm, did you have any construction projects that you were involved in?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which ones were you involved in?
Land a tile and a gym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other big thing that I did that I can remember was putting them 4x8 sheets up the hallway and the steps going to the second floor in the big boys building, if that's what they call it.
Oh, yeah.
There was like Filipino kind of mahogany wood that went up the side of the steps.
Right.
Yeah, I did all that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. There were some welding jobs, like welding. I have a natural shake. I tremble. And it made me a good welder because you got to go back and forth and to weld and side to side, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
And my hand does that beautiful. So anyway, I would have to renew the plow. You put weld on it. It builds it back up.
Right.
On the face of the plow. I don't know. There's so many jobs, from picking apples and mm-hmm. the chores. It seemed like the weekly chores were, they had a list.
Right.
Kitchen.
Sure.
Laundry. You know, things like that. House chores. But when I think of chores, I'm always thinking of the farm end of it. The other things were just necessary things. We all took turns at cleaning up and doing our clothes and stuff like that.
Sure. Doing the laundry.
Yeah. And, you know, I try to think back. We're down in that basement. Not that it was bad or anything down there, but it just, I can't remember it being hot or anything. We had steam press down there.
Right.
And we stood there and ironed our clothes and had these humongous washers as big as this desk, two of them.
Right.
They go around one way and go back the other, and they run by belts. And I had an extractor and two big dryers, if I remember. And I was on laundry quite often. I don't know. I probably never complained about it. So, you know, if some fool likes it, let him do it. Same way with kitchen.
Yeah,
I was on kitchen, it seemed like a lot. But I never minded it, never. In fact, I cook today.
Okay.
Yeah, it shaped my life there. Yeah. But one more thing, chores make you.
Yeah, you learn a lot of skills during doing the chores and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and a lot of things come up, you have no idea where you really got it. But I try to look back, and I just know it came from drum. Mm-hmm. I just know it did.
Right. Well, you know you didn't bring it with you from the streets.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
What kind of entertainment do you remember having at drum?
Well, there's a lot of activities.
Right.
I don't remember anybody coming out and entertaining us, but I remember they had, like, on Saturday, go to the theater.
Right.
And then there were other, like church, you know, Sunday night, you might have some kind of thing you do at your church, and drum would take you there.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the bus, it'd be the station wagon, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I can't remember a whole. Actually, we were busy little guys, and bedtime was 9 o'clock.
Right.
And you went to study hall, and you went to bed, so your entertainment was your nice rest, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I always thought of it as probably the biggest amount of entertainment was having the sports.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I agree. But you're looking at one guy here that don't do sports. And Drum Farm caused that.
Yeah.
And what it was I was on the basketball team. And, well, you know, we was always the best. I mean, most generally everybody we played. But I always looked at it like we was good because we lived together. We knew each other.
Right.
Brothers in arms, so to speak.
That's true.
And so, anyway, I was the center because I was a tall guy.
Right.
And we changed courts at halftime. And I centered the ball. And I got the ball. And I run down and I make a basket. But I made it for the wrong team. So we lost by 2 points.
Oh.
I got my head caved in on the way home. And I said, I ain't playing no sports ever again. That ended my career.
Right.
I don't fish, hunt, nothing, even today. I hate throwing a baseball to somebody.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's fine. I see a lot of guys have hobbies like that today.
True.
And, you know, and that's fine. We're all different individuals. And maybe sports wasn't my game.
True.
You know, there are some guys that just naturally born, like, in everything in life that are good at certain things.
Oh, definitely.
And right. I don't think I was that great, really. Right. But I tried.
Well, that's all they were.
Yeah.
Nick, do you remember the job skills that you developed at the farm?
Well, like I said earlier, butchering.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, and we did dress chickens and put them in the freezer. I did canning. I canned some of my grapes this summer.
Oh,
yeah, Concords I had.
Yeah.
And I got it out there. Remember, we had a big vineyard, I don't know, I want to say 100 foot, maybe two rows.
Yeah,
it was
at least.
It was big.
Yeah.
And we'd have to can them, and then rendering the lard out of the pork, we scraped the hogs down and butcher them. And so all that butchering just led me to the meat business.
Right.
And then milking cows, of course, I've have never been able to apply that in life, but that was an interesting task, and it was something mm-hmm. sort of like rubbing your head and patting your belly in a way, because it ain't easy.
No.
You know, but once you get the hang of it, it is. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of things.
Right.
So, no, I there's a lot of things. Little things in life, you know. I can iron, take care of the house, do all cooking, like I said, do all that way better. And I'm not bragging, way better than my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Example, when I met her, she said, "Are you hungry?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "What are you fixing me?" She said, "Macaroni and cheese, you like that?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I love macaroni and cheese." Well, 5 minutes comes out. I go, "Where'd you get that?" "Al Franco American can." I said, "You don't know how to make macaroni and cheese?" She said, "No." So I knew who's going to have to be the cook. And, you know, it is just all those things come into play in my life. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm a willing guy to do them. If it's doing the laundry, I don't ever hesitate jumping in.
Yeah.
And it's all because out here.
Yeah. Well, I know Berkmeyer said, when the guys leave the farm, they can live independently because they know how to do everything.
Right. But there's one key thing he told me, and I might have told you this, Willard, one time when we was talking. When I was graduating, Mr. Berkmeyer said, "Whatever you do, do not go into service." Yeah. And I looked at him. Of course, I was surprised. And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because we have taken care of you, if it was 6 years,
all right,
giving you everything. And you don't need to go in service where they're going to give you everything. You need to go out in real life and earn your way."
Mm.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never was in the service.
Different point of view, definitely. Yeah.
Well, in a way, I understand what he's saying.
Right.
If you take care of every person's need, welfare, for example.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you got... If you give everybody everything they want, then when that day of reckoning comes and you got to go out, if you go back to somebody who's give you your food and clothing and mm-hmm. tell you where to go and what to do, which, you know, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Your life ain't going to change.
Yeah. Well, I know some of the guys went into service because they couldn't find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, a different point of view.
Yeah.
Let me see now. You said you graduated in what year?
59.
59. And how old were you at that time?
18.
18. And this year you are?
What? You're what?
How old are you this year?
Right now I'm 72. Be 73 October 7th.
Oh. In 4 days.
I'm expecting something from you.
Keep your eyes open. Now, did you go to college or trade school or
no
job training?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Good enough?
No. Oh, you know, like when I was working at Farmland Foods as a foreman, I did go to classes like, I remember I went to Ames to go to the university up there in Iowa. It was a meat conference, and it was for 2 weeks learning how to make sausage, and which... I was doing that for farmland, already knew how to make sausage, but they wanted like a refresher on it.
Oh.
And they were starting up sausage lines up there. Before, there was just strictly a kill plant and bacon, stuff, whole pieces of meat.
Right.
See, sausage is all called commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And farmland always proud of themselves that they weren't a commodity company. But they had to jump on because after a while, you got to give up and start selling them other products. Like mm-hmm. they have hot dogs now and all of that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Trump pretty well prepared you for graduation, but do you think they could have better prepared you for life after graduation?
No, Willard.
Okay.
No, there ain't nothing that I can see that they could have done for me. No, I can't. It's like, to me, Drum was like mother and father. And I know that sounds crazy, but I raised my kids to do the best they could. And after they turned 18, I cut them loose.
Right.
I said, adios. Go out on your own. They, mm-hmm. And they started working fairly early, owned their own car. They paid their own college. Mm-hmm. And all that's because of drum.
Right.
Because I seen that as the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I had five kids.
Yeah.
I'd go to school and teachers' conferences. And a teacher would be sitting like she is. And she'd go, "What do you do with your children at home? They are so good. What's your secret?"
Yeah.
Drum farm. No.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It might not work for everybody. You know, we're all individuals.
True.
And what little indoctrination I had from drum might have been way better than another boy from drum.
Mm-hmm.
And some boys probably felt picked upon. Hey, there's one guy sitting here chopped more trees down than anybody else at drum farm, period. I was on punishment constantly because of my big mouth or something. And the thing is, it just shaped me into a better man.
Right.
And I never looked at it as, poor little Archie.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
It was, to me, growth.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm cutting trees at 72 right now.
Yeah.
And splitting wood. So, there you go.
Just can't give it up.
Well, it's not that. I see it as I can save money.
Right.
And it taught me something I can do. I got 3.5 acres of wood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to pay the high price of fuel and all that when I got it right in my yard.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's drum. There again. See how it works its way around in your life.
It keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, were you in the service?
No.
No. Okay. What is the thing that you consider the most valuable that you learned at drum?
Keep me out of prison.
Keep you out of prison.
Well, that's a silly statement. I realize that. But I tell you what. I don't know any of the boys' personal life to speak of. Okay? We didn't go out there and say, hey, you know, this is what I did. But I know where I was coming from. 40th and Main, running in gangs. And I was a big guy in the 7th grade, tallest kid in his whole school. I was hanging out with boys like 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they weren't up to any good.
Right.
At 40th Main? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And so I was headed down a bad road. Now, Mr. Berkmeyer, if you remember, taught school at Southeast High School.
Mm-hmm. For a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he run into one of my old friends over there.
Oh.
His name was Lewis. I can't remember. Jimmy Lewis, I think. And he told me he met him, you know, and all that. But then when I, you know, we got this little 2-week summer vacation, was it? Mm-hmm. Or a week vacation with your family?
Yeah.
I went and looked for all my buds. And I got down there at 40th and Main. And one of them raped a girl, and he's in prison. Another one was dead. And another one was just next to an alcoholic. And, you know, I told my wife 1,000 times, if it wasn't for Drum Farm, I know it sounds crazy, I would have been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy. It's so easy for a child to walk on the wild side, if that's what you want to call it, wrong side.
Yeah.
It's like shaping our faith. My goodness, they load us up in a bus and force us to go to church in a sense because, hey, I never went to church. You know what I'm saying? This is a strange world to me. And they said, what church you want to belong to? Didn't ever go. But I remember my mom said she was Methodist.
Right.
So I picked Methodist. So anyway, yeah. And it gave me where I'm at today. I'm a Catholic today. Because my wife didn't want to be a Methodist, and she was Lutheran, and I didn't want to be a Lutheran. But I believe that a family needs to be one faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to many churches, believe me, we did, and we decided on Catholic. And the reason for it was tradition and how serious it is. So that's my faith. I go every Sunday now. And it's all shaped because of drum.
Right, yeah.
Them things wouldn't be happening if it wouldn't have been for that.
Yeah, big, good foundation.
You can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
You can't. And anybody that looks at it like too much corporal punishment or too much of this, too much of that, and the kids ain't getting this, they're spoiling them. They're not making, they're not shaping men.
Right. Yeah. Okay, next question.
Uh-huh.
What was your profession and how did you choose it?
Well, there again, it goes back to Drum Farm.
Right.
And I slaughtered my steer.
Right.
And we did butchering all the time, pigs, chickens, whatever. And like I said, I wanted to be a farmer and couldn't afford it, so I went into the thing I knew.
Next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a meat cutter?
I worked as sausage maker and many, many, I was traffic manager for a meat company. I was foreman for meat companies. I did a whole host of things, but it was that beginning that got me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I could talk to them. I knew what they was talking about.
Right.
And that's how I got my job.
Okay.
Because drum, you know, agriculture, we learned all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I could, you know, a city kid go in and try to get the job. He don't know any of that.
Right.
But the drum boy does.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
He's paying attention.
Right, yeah, yeah.
No, you do.
Let's see. What accomplishments make you the most proud?
Well, I don't know. That's... I really believe in... My job, I had some plaques on the wall and everything. And to me, that don't mean diddly. And I mean even on my job, you know, different things I did. I really think my best accomplishment was coming off the street and having five beautiful children that I never had a problem with. Nothing. No drugs. No problem. This never wrecked their cars because I guess they paid for them. I appreciated it, you know?
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're all RNs or doing something, working their fingers to the bone. And I feel if I could give anybody anything in life, it's my five young kids that I grew up because of drum. And you know I told you that.
Right.
Drum Farm's what shaped everything I did with my children.
Great, yeah. Good beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, good beginning. Can you think of any funny or humorous stories about life out of drum?
That's a hard one, Willard.
It's hard to pick one.
Yeah, well... Yes, but, you know, just off my cuff, I'm the kind of person that has to be in a room chatting and if somebody say something to trigger something. Mm, but
right.
there are so many things that happened at Drum Farm that was humorous. And it was fun a lot of the time. I mean, it was a serious place, but at the same time, there was humor. And see, that's one thing I could be wrong. That's one thing that's going on right now. It's like the kids all eating in the separate buildings. And I don't know if I should say anything, but this is the way I feel. What we had was camaraderie.
Right.
Because you sat down. What do they say about families today? Sit down and eat a meal.
That's right.
Share the food.
Yeah.
Well, they're not doing that. And these boys are going to grow up, and what we're doing right now, I almost bet money, will not be in existence in 20 years because nobody knows anybody except the little group.
Right.
It ain't going to be the same.
No.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I know what I did in life and raising my children. I wasn't trained by drum or anything, but I applied some of their, is ethics a word? I don't know.
Philosophy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't successful, I'd probably be saying something else, but I give drum, Harry Nelson, Mr. Berkmeyer. I didn't know Arthur Kelly.
Oh, yeah,
He right. took over after. And, you know, they shaped me.
Right. Okay.
Well, that's good, though. What words of advice would you like to share? Or do you have words of advice to share?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, everything I've been saying is hopefully somebody could take away and use in their life, or even dig into the life of Drum Farm and see just what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And use some of the things. It's not all bad.
Oh, no. No.
You know? No. So there's beauty in all that. I know the world's changing dramatically. You know, we're all becoming California and all that. But, you know, it just
right.
need to remember our roots.
Oh, definitely. Okay, what have you done that no one would ever guess you've done?
What, you mean in life?
Yeah, you know, like riding a motorcycle in a race.
No. I rode motorcycles. But no, I got stories I can tell you about that, and you'd laugh crazy. Mm. But this ain't the place. But some of the things I did do, like when I retired, this is crazy. My wife loved Volkswagens, Beetles, and when I retired at 60, that was my project to build a Volkswagen Beetle for her, engine and all, made it safe, put new brakes under it.
All right,
just reconditioned it. I can't say I learned how to put a motor together out at Drum Farm, but I will say they give you enough knowledge, mechanical stuff. You work in shop, you do many things, woodwork, you name it, your hands are full of different things you learn.
Yeah.
So it was kind of applied. And of course, I went to the library and read up on things.
Sure.
And I rebuilt that engine. And the reason why I'm saying this story is because a man that owns a meat business called Ralph Meese went to this Catholic church that I attend, and he see me, he's about my age, and he said, well, you're retired now, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm rebuilding this old Volkswagen. And he looked at me, he goes, you know, I can't do anything. All I've done is my business all my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I go, wow.
Yeah.
That's significant to me.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
And there again, Drum Farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drum built that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now we're going to close it off.
Okay.
Do you have anything that you would like to add?
Not a thing. I think my mouth said it all. I enjoyed it. I hope I give a little insight to what Drum was to me, and hopefully to most of the boys out here, and that maybe it can help make Drum a better place for the children.
All right, okay. Well, thank you, Archie. And that concludes another Drum Farm interview. Thank you.